One of the 14 Swiss banks that are hiding assets for Americans signed a deferred prosecution agreement with the U.S. Department of Justice Monday to avoid criminal charges. Under the terms of the agreement, BSISA agreed to pay penalties totaling $212 million and will provide details about a portion of the accounts with U.S. ties to the private bank managed. The Justice Department rolled out something of an amnesty program in 2013, and BSISA is the first to successfully navigate its way through the controversial, quote, self-reporting, unquote, process, according to Acting Associate Attorney General Stuart Delery. The IRS reported that it has collected over $7 billion from more than 50,000 participants in the offshore voluntary disclosure program.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Robin Ryan, Cliff Verla, Doug McVeigh, Nicole Weinstock, and Jim Thompson. Special thanks to Andrea Thompson and Megan Gardner. Our engineer is Sequoina Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Doug McVeigh.
And I'm Nicole Weinstock.
Tune in tomorrow from 7 till noon for Wednesday morning news and talk radio. And stay tuned now for a live interview with Matthew Ho and the latest information on the Bo Bergdahl case conducted by KBOO's Jenka Soderberg.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
On tonight's News in Depth, U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who was rescued from captivity in Afghanistan last year in a controversial prisoner swap, was charged with desertion this week. In response, State Department whistleblower Matthew Ho published an article on Politico today, pointing out that Bergdahl may himself have been a whistleblower on Army practices. When he left the base, Bergdahl was apparently trying to make his way to another U.S. base to find an officer in charge in order to file a complaint about illegal activity that he had witnessed carried out by Army personnel. If convicted, Bergdahl could face a death sentence or life imprisonment in military custody. Bergdahl went missing from his base in Afghanistan's Paktika province in 2009 and was captured by Taliban soldiers. He was exchanged for five Taliban prisoners held at the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, last year. For more, KBOO's Jenka Soderberg spoke with Matthew Ho about the latest information being released about Bo Bergdahl's case.
We are are joined on the line by Matthew Ho. He is a State Department whistleblower. And I wonder if we could get your thoughts on the announcement that Bo Bergdahl will be facing charges of desertion.
Yeah, so as everyone, or most everyone knows now, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl spent 5 years as a prisoner of war held by the Taliban in Afghanistan. Was handed a charge sheet yesterday. And that charged him with desertion and with misbehavior before the enemy. However, if you read the statement from his attorneys, which is available on pbs.org, or if you also look at what sources from inside the Pentagon are now saying as being reported by CNN, the Army, in its investigations of Sergeant Bergdahl, both while he was a prisoner of war and since he's returned home, has found that he didn't have an intention to leave permanently, that he, when he left his base, he was not looking to leave the Army. He was not looking to quit the war. He was not looking to join the Taliban. And the Army also found that in no way did Sergeant Bergdahl ever assist the Taliban. And in fact, despite being tortured and threatened with death, he tried to escape 12 times. The really interesting thing, and I think the most important thing, that the Army has found in its investigation, and it's coming from the Army. This is not coming from his defense team or from anti-war critics like myself or anyone like that, is that Sergeant Bergdahl left his post to report to another base, another American base, to find a general to report about things he found very disturbing and concerning. And this may have been it may have been something illegal. It may have been a war crime. It may have been something immoral or some other wrongdoing. But what we have to look at right now is the fact that Sergeant Bergdahl may very well have been trying to be a whistleblower himself, and in the process of trying to report to someone senior, someone who could trust, because obviously he couldn't trust the men on his base, he was caught by a Taliban and spent 5 years as a prisoner of war.
What about this claim by some of the people that served with Bergdahl that lives were lost trying to save him initially when he had been taken prisoner by the Taliban?
Well, in the Army's report, this is referenced as well, that the Army found no evidence that any soldiers were killed looking for Sergeant Bergdahl. And my attitude in this is like a lot of other veterans' attitude. Look, you know, I mean, it's terrible those men died. What's worse is that their families are told it's because of one individual they died, when the reality is they died because they were in Afghanistan. You know, they died because they were in a war in eastern Afghanistan fighting against an enemy that was fighting us primarily just because we were there, because we were occupying. So the responsibility for those deaths lie with the war and with those who continued the war. In the case of the Obama administration, escalated the war as we were doing in 2009.
And during his captivity, Bo Bergdahl was tortured, as you mentioned. Can you talk about some of the ways that he suffered as a prisoner of war there in Afghanistan?
Well, and again, this is also available to the public now. It was released by his defense team, but Sergeant Bergdahl's own account of his time in captivity was very brutal, very barbaric. He was beaten. He was starved. He was given little water. He was exposed to the elements. If anyone who served there knows, or anyone's been there knows, it gets quite cold, particularly in the wintertime, and he did not seem to have adequate shelter. He was isolated for most of his 5 years. And in addition to the physical torture he received, which include being beaten by copper wire, as well as, again, the starvation and the lack of water and exposure, he was psychologically tortured. So he was threatened with execution. He was told he would be released, but not released. So he went through all kinds of psychological trauma, as well as, again, just the psychological trauma of being a prisoner of war for 5 years, being held in isolation for 5 years, and as well as expecting that you would never make it home.
His hometown in Idaho rallied around Bo Bergdahl for 5 years while he was held prisoner. Upon his release, it seems like most of his supporters ended up abandoning him. Can you talk about the way that he has been ostracized since his return to the U.S.?
It's quite disgraceful, the way he's been treated, and it's very, very disgraceful and shameful the way his family has been treated and demonized. And I think a lot of people, as this story continues to unfold, his attorneys are saying that this information that's been released is only really just the top of it, and you know the tip of it, and that when people understand the full story of what happened, of why he left the base and what occurred, that people will be very ashamed of their actions, very ashamed to turn their back on him. I think those who made this a political story, of course, those individuals, they have no interest in honesty or truth, so I don't think they'll feel any shame, you know. But I think there are a lot of people who are going to have to look at themselves and say, look, we turned our back on a young American who suffered and sacrificed through 5 years of being a prisoner of war for just the simple reason that he may have been trying to tell the truth. He may have been trying to report a war crime or some other wrongdoing. So I think there's going to be a lot of soul searching in the United States if what we now are being led to believe or being told, or what we now know about Sergeant Bergdahl and his disappearance comes to light.
He did manage to be released finally with the transfer of five former Taliban who were at Guantanamo. How do you think that that exchange ended up being used politically by people who had less than pure political intentions or ambitions?
Well, that's exactly that. They had less than pure political intentions, to put it in, you know, a very polite manner. I mean, that was used basic fear-mongering, scare tactics, fear of the other, fear of the boogeyman, however you want to describe it, but that's what was utilized to attack the president at the expense of a prisoner of war. Exchanges of prisoners have occurred throughout military history. It's occurred throughout our military history. And so the politicization of it was another thing that is quite shameful, disgraceful, and without historical merit or standard. The five men that were exchanged had never been charged with anything. They are in addition to, you know, close to 600 other detainees that have been held at Guantanamo Bay who have been released. 500 of them or so have been released under the Bush administration. And it's important to know that these men were Taliban. They were not al-Qaeda. They had never engaged or attacked U.S. forces. They were captured for the most part before our troops were really even in Afghanistan and turned over to us. So this notion that somehow this has weakened our security, weakened our ability to protect ourselves, doesn't really stand up to scrutiny. And of course, when you view it as the political machination that it was, used to attack the president at the expense of a prisoner of war and his family, it, again, is the terms I keep coming back to, are disgraceful and shameful, but I'm at a loss for any other word to describe that activity by many pundits, by many politicians, and regrettably by a great amount of the American public.
So Bo Bergdahl is facing up to a potential of life in prison. What do you think is the likelihood that he'll receive a strong sentence like that?
Well, you know, right now, so what occurred this week was he received a charge sheet, which basically says the prosecution is going to bring this to what's called an Article 32 hearing, which is a preliminary hearing similar to a civilian grand jury. So we are going to bring this to a panel, and they are going to look and see what the evidence is, if there's probable cause. Now, Sergeant Bergdahl did leave his post, so I'm assuming that's going to be enough probable cause for this to go to court-martial, which is the military version of a trial. However, I do think if as what we've seen has come out already from the Army's investigation, and if his attorneys can be believed, which they've given us no reason not to believe them in their conduct over the last 10 months, the information that will be displayed in the court-martial will be mitigating and will show, as the Army report said, that Sergeant Bergdahl is honest, not in possession of bad motives, and was trying to report a disturbing situation, which may have been a war crime. I can't imagine that he would be found guilty on those things. And if he was found guilty, I have to also believe then that a jury of military officers would take into account the 5 years in as a prisoner of war, his 5 years being tortured nonstop, use that in some way to alleviate any sentence that may be passed on him if he was found guilty or is found guilty.
Well, and we will, of course, follow this court-martial and the trial as it continues. Again, we've been speaking with Matthew Ho. He is a State Department whistleblower, senior fellow at the Center for International Policy, also previously directed the Afghanistan Study Group, collection of foreign and public policy experts and professionals advocating for change in U.S. policy in Afghanistan. Matthew, thank you for joining us on KABU.
Thank you for having me on.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KABU News.
KABU is a proud co-sponsor of the 4th annual Umbrella Festival of Circus and Comedy, April 2nd to April 5th at the Alberta Rose Theater. 4 nights of entertainment, including outsider music legend Artist the Spoon Man, 9 traveling circus troupes, acrobats and aerialists, clowns and cabaret, bands and burlesque, drag and derring do, and more. Again, that's the 4th annual Umbrella Festival of Circus and Comedy, April 2nd through April 5th at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KABU is a proud co-sponsor of Susan Griffin, Sustainability in the Soul, Thursday, April 9th, 7 p.m. in the Sanctuary. Susan Griffin is an internationally celebrated writer who will speak on the false divisions our culture makes between body and soul, masculine and feminine, self and other, that allow us to hide from our